Philip Keller wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And in it, he says that sheep require more attention than almost any other kind of livestock. Sheep will ruin a pasture. Some sheep do that. But anyway, I'm not going to go there. Sheep will ruin a pasture by simply standing in one spot and eating all the grass till there's nothing left and then starve to death. That's why in the 23rd Psalm that was read for us here, we're told that the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He leads me to rest in green meadows, green pastures. Sheep are actually scared of drinking from running water. And a sheep will die of thirst before they'll go drink from a fast-moving river or stream. So the psalmist tells us that the good shepherd leads me beside peaceful streams, or in the old vernacular, beside still waters. Sheep are nearsighted, timid, feeble, defenseless, have no homing instinct. They cannot find their way home. So the psalmist tells us, he guides me along right paths. When a wolf or a lion attacks sheep, the moment the sheep is grabbed by that wolf or a lion, the sheep simply stops struggling and allows the hunter to calmly kill it. So the psalmist explains, even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I don't know about you, but this is not a very flattering picture of sheep. And I don't know about you, but I would prefer, if Jesus is going to call me a sheep, to think of sheep as this cuddly, soft, likable, something akin to a beloved family pet. But to the people Jesus was talking to, that was not their view of what a sheep was. And it probably shouldn't be ours. Now for us, of course, in the Western Canadian prairies, we tend to think more along the lines, not of sheep ranching, but of cattle ranching. And so consequently, we really don't have a concept of what it means to herd or to gather sheep. And sheep and cattle are very different. Cows are herded from the rear with shouts and prods. But that doesn't work with sheep. Apparently, I've never tried this, I'm only going on hearsay. Apparently, if you stand behind sheep making noises, they will just run around behind you. Sheep prefer to be led. Now, cows can be pushed, but sheep must be led. And in reality, as much as we may not like it, it's the same with us. We're not too much into being pushed. That's why Jesus calls himself our shepherd, and a good one at that. I read a sheep story the other day. I doubt that it's true, but I like it anyway, so I'm going to share it. So a shepherd is looking after this substantial flock of sheep one day on the side of a deserted road when suddenly a brand new beautiful Porsche screeches to a halt beside his herd, his flock. The driver, a man dressed in a fancy and expensive looking suit and shoes with a big gold watch on his wrist, gets out and asks the shepherd a question. He says, "If I can tell you how many sheep you have, will you give me one of them?" The shepherd looks at this young man and then looks at the large flock of grazing sheep and replies, "Sure, why not?" So the young man parks his car, fires up his laptop, enters a satellite website, scans the ground using a live satellite image, opens a database with a whole bunch of tables filled with logarithms and pivot tables, and then prints out an executive summary report on his high-tech mini printer. He glances at the report as he turns to the shepherd and says, "Well, you have exactly 1,586 sheep." Surprised, the shepherd replies, "Wow, that's correct. I guess you can have your sheep." The young man selects an animal, puts it in the back of his Porsche, and just as he's about to drive off, the shepherd stops him and asks, "If I guess your profession, will you return my animal to me?" The young man thinks for a moment and then answers, "Sure, why not?" The shepherd says, "Well, I'm guessing that you're a professional consultant." "Amazing," the man answers. "How did you know?" "Well, very simple," asks the shepherd. "Firstly, you came here without being called. Secondly, you charged me a fee to tell me something I already knew. And thirdly, it's obvious you don't actually understand anything about my business. So can I please now have my dog back? We may think that looking after sheep is a simple task, but it isn't. Looking after sheep is actually a highly specialized job. It takes a good shepherd years to learn his trade, and it's a craft often passed on from father to son for generations. So it makes sense that we take a moment to think about what it means and what Jesus is wanting us to understand as he talks to us about he is being the good shepherd. When Jesus tells us, "I am the good shepherd," we soon realize that this is both a strange and at the same time an appropriate metaphor. What's fascinating is that in using this particular word picture, he draws our attention to, well, three things: what it means to be sheep, who we are to look to for a good shepherd, and he also adds in what it means to be part of a sheepfold. So let's think about the implications of that for a moment. First of all, let's look what it means to be compared to a sheep. Sadly, we have some pretty unflattering similarities to sheep, sadly. The people of Jesus' day would not have seen their being compared to sheep as being much of a compliment. You see, sheep tend to just follow the crowd. How many times have you heard your kids say something like, "I just want to be unique and I want to be special, so I need those same shoes as everybody else"? Sheep and people seldom take initiative or actual leadership. Instead, they just want to be where the action is. And when they are, for some reason, stepping away from the crowd, it's often not that they're being strong or taking initiative, but instead that they're being stubborn or difficult or just oblivious to their context. And when a sheep finally trusts someone, they will follow them without thinking. In my very first pastorate, I was still in college, and I was pastoring a little church at Farintosh, Alberta. And there was a couple in the church who raised sheep. And they often talked about the frustrations of working with these woolly, smelly animals. They described how sheep, if they trust you, will follow you anywhere. I remember them telling me a story one day about going out into the pasture where the sheep were, and then coming to the house for supper. And when he was on his way into the house, he didn't close the gate to the sheep's pasture quite tight enough. And he arrived at the house, his mind somewhere else, walk up the step, only to look behind him and have a whole flock of sheep following him literally to the door of the house. You say, "Oh, come on, Ken, people aren't like that." Well, I don't know. Think about November 18th, 1978, when about 900 followers of the cult leader Jim Jones commit a suicide in Jonestown, Guyana, simply on the say-so of their leader, Jim Jones, who they had trusted. Think about millions of dollars swindled from people in pyramid schemes because, well, they trusted the word of the shyster without checking the facts out. Think about the hundreds of people every day who happily give out their social insurance numbers and credit card numbers because the person on the other end of the line or the email sounded so friendly and trustworthy, and really, they did want to give them all that money. On the other hand, if sheep don't trust you, you will never be able to even herd them through a gate, never mind leading them through. Have you ever tried to do the right thing with a group of people who have come to believe that they are convinced that the wrong thing is the right thing to do? And I'm not even talking about responding to a pandemic. We're a lot like sheep, and we desperately need a good shepherd. And it's essential that we find the good shepherd who will care for his sheep and not exploit us. That's part of why we as a congregation are using this transition time to carefully assess who we are and where we've been and in the days to come where we're going to be going, so as to find the right earthly shepherd to lead us towards the will of the good shepherd. So while we're a lot like sheep, not an overly flattering comment, the good news is that we really do have a good shepherd in Jesus. Let's think for a moment about the characteristics of a good shepherd that we can see in Jesus. There is in fact some wonderful characteristics that the first century Jewish shepherds had that reflects Jesus' relationship to us as a good shepherd. For example, the good shepherd knows his sheep and cares for them individually. We see that well illustrated in the parable of the lost sheep. A shepherd has 100 sheep and found that just one of those sheep was missing. And what did he do? Did he write that sheep off as simply an economic loss? No. Instead, he left the other 99 safely grazing and went off to find the one that was lost. And we read that when he found it, he came home rejoicing. Jesus wants a deeply personal relationship with each one of us individually. He is capable and worthy of being our Lord and Savior, but he also wants to be our friend. Shepherds protect the sheep. Simple as that. David was a shepherd long before he became a king. In fact, he was still just a shepherd when he killed Goliath in that wonderful story. Remember what he told King Saul as he went out to battle with Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 36? Listen to this. He says, he's explaining, by the way, to Saul why he should go out against Goliath, this giant. He says, "I've been taking care of my father's sheep," he said. It's like, don't you know? It makes sense. I should be able to fight this giant. I've been taking care of sheep. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and take the lamb from its mouth. Remember I said that when a lion or a bear or whatever grabs a sheep, they just stop. They quit fighting. I grab it from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears. Good shepherd protects his sheep. And Jesus wants to protect us too. John, in just a few chapters after the good shepherd statement, reminds us that Jesus told us in chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, he says, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Jesus wants us to never be alone, so he dwells in us through his Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The good shepherd wants the very best for his sheep. Now, the temptation is to think that his idea of the best should be our idea of the best, but it's not necessarily so. He wants us to have a life with meaning and significance to the people around us. A life that connects and serves and loves the world that touches us. He wants us to spend eternity with him. As we head towards Easter, we're reminded that Christ, the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for us as his sheep. Jesus loves us so much that he gave himself in our place to pay the price for our being fallen, sinful people. As I was thinking this week, I was reminded of that words to that hymn. I'm not going to sing it for you, so don't worry. The words were simply, "I had a debt I could not pay. He paid the debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long." He is not about to give up on us or give us up to the enemy. About 8 years ago, I got the privilege to go on a sabbatical. And part of that sabbatical was spending just over 30 days in Jordan and Israel. And a great experience. And one day we went out to a wadi, or a valley between two large hills, and we sat on the side of a hill for a good part of the day. And we just sat watching the various flocks of sheep that in that valley, in that wadi, and the shepherds who were herding those flocks of sheep around that valley. Late in the afternoon, the flocks began to move away from the center of the valley and head towards home pastures. One flock came literally right towards us and crossed this little stream right in front of us. The shepherd, a young guy, I guess he was maybe 15 or 16, led the whole flock of sheep down a steep bank and across a shallow part of the stream right in front of us. The flock, he went first, and the flock dutifully followed him, all except for one solitary sheep that decided to not go down the bank, but instead ran along the top of the far bank, quickly getting separated from the flock. We watched as the young shepherd called to that sheep several times. And when the sheep didn't respond, he picked up a rock about the size of an egg, and he hurled it at that sheep. That kid needs to be recruited for as a professional baseball team as a pitcher. That rock went straight and true and hit that sheep on the shoulder, almost knocking it off its feet. When the kid called again, that sheep whirled, ran back to the place where the rest of the sheep had gone down the bank and crossed the stream. And I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. And then a most interesting thing happened. That young shepherd gathered that whole flock around him, and then he went to that sheep, and he carefully checked to make sure that it was okay, talking quietly and gently to the sheep as he ran his hands over the spot where that rock hit to make sure that sheep was okay. And suddenly I ran to realize, sadly, the good shepherd has to do that to us sometimes too. But he always comes back to care for us and to let us know that he loves us and he cares about us. Interestingly enough, in this passage in John chapter 10, Jesus uses another interesting metaphor that we dare not miss. It starts in verse 1 of chapter 10. He says, Jesus tells us, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice." And then again we see this idea of a sheepfold and its gate in John 10, 7 to 9. He says, "Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep, and all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." And in verse 16, Jesus touches on this idea again. He says, "I have other sheep that are not part of this sheepfold." Here we need to think for a moment about the image Jesus is trying to install in us when he talks about this. You see, first century Jewish sheep pen is where the sheep have shelter. In reality, actually, it was probably just an open capital C-shaped structure, which had high walls made of stones or wood or even bushes and thorns around that C-shaped thing, but no roof or door. The shepherd would, at night, gather his flock into the protection of the sheepfold, and then he would often lay across the door, the entrance to the sheepfold, lay at the door. And when Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheepfold," this is exactly the picture that he was wanting the people around him to get to. It was the shepherd who regulated who came in and who went out. It was the shepherd who protected his flock and not let anything else get in to harm his sheep. There was absolute safety in the sheep pen when the shepherd acted as the door. And what I think Jesus was trying to tell us here is the church should be like a sheep pen. A place of safety with the Lord as its doorkeeper. When Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," he's not saying that he was the church's consultant. He is not saying that he was the church's self-help guru. He was not implying that the church's that he was the church's statistician or accountant or interested in facts and figures. He was saying, "I am the good shepherd," meaning I know you by name. I notice when you're absent. I notice you, and you matter to me personally. And more than that, he's telling us that only when we are in the presence of Christ, allowing him to be the door that regulates our lives, that can we be safe. We are sheep, no question, as unflattering as that may be. But we have a really good shepherd who loves us and cares for us and about us. And God has given us this wonderful sheepfold, the church, a place of safety and security and love. Now I know we're not always perfect at being the sheepfold, but we're working towards it. If we will only allow the good shepherd to guide and empower and keep us. And you need to know that wherever you are today, whether you're in this sanctuary with us, whether you're watching online, whether you're watching at a different time, you're invited to be part of the sheepfold. It starts by simply a relationship with a good shepherd. Jesus wants to have this relationship with you that can only come as you open your heart and your life and your mind to him. It starts by a simple relation to the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it grows as we each seek to find our place of service, security, and love in the context of that welcoming fold. I love the fact that so many of you work so hard to make sure that what we do as a family of God works. There's people who care for food pantries. There's people who come early and set things up. There's people who care about people who call and pray for one another. I'm so thankful for that. Because you see, we're all part of the sheepfold. And we really do have a shepherd who cares about us and loves us and invites us to be a part of this day by day, week by week. And I invite you to be a part of it as well. Lord God, thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for caring so much about us that you would be willing, as we celebrated Easter, to die on a cross in our place. You would be willing to come become the sacrificial lamb, pay the price that we could not have paid. And Lord, I just ask you just to guide and direct us as we step into the season, as we are in the middle of Lent, thinking about what it cost you for our salvation, and wanting, Lord, to be the best possible sheep we can be, and the best sheepfold that we can be for your sake and for your glory. So, Lord, continue to be our good shepherd this day and every day. We'll give you thanks and praise. Amen.